Izamit Carr, and I'm Telly Concepcion, and together we are Beyond the Numbers Podcast. We go beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. So come learn, grow, and have some fun with us. We are Beyond the Numbers Podcast.
On today's episode, the guys provide NBA bubble news updates. They also share their thoughts on the return of live sports, including cutout fans versus digital fans, and they discuss Major League Baseball's fumble with Corona. But first, their numbers of the day.
My number for the day is 109. This past week was baseball opening day, and there were a record 109 players from my home country, the Dominican Republic, that's how we say it, were on opening day rosters across Major League Baseball. That was boosted a bit by an expanded pool following the layoff caused by the coronavirus pandemic. Dominican players comprised 10.6% of those in the majors, which is actually down from last year, which was 11.6%, and the record in 2007, which was 11.7%, when there were 99 out of 849 players in the major leagues.
Ellie, I have full faith they'll get back up there. My number for the day is actually a combination of numbers. So we've given Kyrie Irving some grief over the past months, mainly because some of his views are a little out there. You know, he's one of those flat earth guys. And there's a couple of comments that he makes over time that are a little weird. But for what it's worth, Kyrie has been very, very thoughtful and has given a lot back to his community being New York at this point, since he is a member of the New York Nets. To start off, he's donated $323,000 along with 250,000 meals throughout New York. He's donated 200,000 Beyond Burgers to New York food banks throughout New York City. He's donated 3,000 masks and 2 truckloads of food to the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. He's producing a TV special seeking justice for Breonna Taylor. And he is the first NBA player to start a fund, and it's a $1.5 million fund for WNBA players who have opted out of this season and will not be making any money.
Big shout outs to Kyrie, man. That's big stuff. We won't take that away. I got 2 points real quick, Amit. One, I like how you're trying to claim the New York Nets. They the Brooklyn Nets. But I see what you did. New York Knicks, Nets, New York Nets. I see what you did
there. They've dethroned the Knicks. Not too far. They've dethroned the Knicks. It's no longer the Brooklyn Nets. It's the New York Nets.
But you live closer, though, Brooklyn Nets. Take that. That's good.
I will take that, but I want to remove the Knicks from the conversation.
Okay. Okay.
They can be called the Madison Square Garden Knicks.
The MSGs.
The MSGs.
And then 200,000 Beyond Burgers that Kyrie donated. You know, just saying, Beyond the Numbers Burgers, perhaps.
Oh, I like what you went. I like
where our Beyonders get to eat some Beyond Burgers while they listen to Beyond the Numbers podcast. I like that.
If the makers of Beyond Burgers, I know you're listening, if you want to send us some, let us know. Definitely.
Oh, yeah, they're out here.
I hear they taste just like me.
Sounds like a perfect sponsorship opportunity. So Beyond Burgers, Beyond the Numbers is asking you
hit us up.
Partner with us.
Hit us up.
Before the business, Beyonders, it's time for Before the Business, where we answer your unanswered questions and find the numbers that went unfound in previous episodes. So in the last episode, Amit, we're getting lots of questions here. I think maybe we didn't make it as clear as we could. We're getting lots of questions about living in Orlando because a couple people thought we're living near the bubble. We're hanging out with the NBA guys. We're delivering wings and things. We did live in Orlando, but we no longer live in Orlando. So just to clarify, we're not actually like in the bubble with the guys figuring out what's going on in the NBA bubble, but we're familiar with the surroundings in Orlando and we lived there for a number of years. EA Sports actually brought me to Orlando. I worked on NCAA 14, long live NCAA 14, long live NCAA football, which was the final franchise of college football on a video game. Proud of that.
For now, and baseball brought me to Orlando. So I went to Rollins College with the hopes of playing baseball there and pitching for them. So that's what brought me to Orlando. I now live in Brooklyn, New York, where the New York Nets play.
I live out in the Silicon Valley. So we got y'all covered from coast to coast, the two hosts with the most, right? That's how they say that?
Something like that. Something like that. I like that. We might have to run with that one.
So last week, actually, the Olympics were supposed to start, which is crazy to think, right? Since that announcement went out that the Olympics were canceled, they were actually supposed to start last week. I feel bad for the athletes. You prep your whole life for this month or 2 months of Olympics. You prep, and now you don't have Olympics. And a lot of athletes are young, but there's a couple athletes that were getting up there in age that were trying to make this their last dance, trying to make this their last run. In particular, I'm talking about Ryan Lochte. I was looking forward to some redemption from him. You know, he's working with our Dominican, Alex Rodriguez. He was a Gator. So, you know, that's the sweet spot for me. But time is something you don't get back. So hopefully that year he's still able to make something happen along with our Olympic gymnasts and our runners, everybody involved with the Olympics.
Agreed. I think it would have been a great story. But unfortunately, that story will have to wait a few more months and potentially a few more years to see if it's written.
And Tokyo has come out and said that if Corona doesn't go away or continues the way it has been, that they will not have the Olympics next year. So that's a bummer. MLB started on it, and we had a first pitch. First pitch Fauci is what they're calling him now. And what I heard about the pitch, I mean, obviously I saw the pitch. I was watching it live, and I was thinking back to, you know, not as much pressure as when President Bush had to throw out the first pitch and bring us back from 9/11. But I think people were hopeful that if Fauci got this pitch just right, Corona would just go away. Like, as soon as the ball hit the glove, Corona would just disappear because Dr. Fauci was spitting facts. But we found out, we have heard, I mean, it was breaking news, I mean, investigative reporting here, that Dr. Fauci was actually trying to flatten the curve, and he threw the old flatten the curve ball. He also said he definitely didn't want anyone to catch anything. That's why he threw the pitch the way he did.
At least he didn't want nobody to catch it. At least he's being consistent. Fun fact about first pitch Fauci. Topps now created a limited edition Anthony Fauci baseball card, only released for 24 hours, and it cost $9.99. In that 24 hours, it became the top-selling Topps Now card in the history of Topps Now. And he sold 51,512 cards in that 24-hour span. In second place on that list of sales, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
My cousins, it's my cousins.
His first pitch card came in a distant second place, 19,396 cards sold. That is a long distance.
Speaking of catching things, not the virus though, not the virus. The Astros, Amit, caught some licks. They caught some licks as three Astros were hit by a pitch. And we talked about this in an earlier episode about how the Astros knew about some pitches coming their way. And I think now the Astros are definitely going to know about some pitches coming their way.
Last night, the Astros played the Dodgers. And I think everyone in Major League Baseball became a Joe Kelly fan when he threw at multiple guys. And definitely gotten a little bit of a brawl after that, which was not a socially distanced brawl, unfortunately. No punches thrown, but they definitely had a bench clear. I expect the Astros to get hit numerous times throughout the season. There was an over-under. There was a Vegas sports book that did an over-under of, I think, 83.5 hit by pitches by Astros players throughout the season. That, of course, was for 162-game regular season. We will see how that changes. I still think they're going to get plunked a lot throughout this season. So,
yeah, we definitely talked about it. And Cody Bellinger had some words about Manfred, as he called him, not commissioner, not Rye, he called him Manfred, and how the punishment was not enough. So we'll see how the league makes the Astros pay up for this season. And speaking of shortened seasons, the NFL has eliminated the entire preseason and has laid out some, and I'll use some very loosely, protocols for opting out of the season that we talked about last week. And Amit, when you go to someone in a negotiation, you ask for things and they're like, okay, cool, you can have that. That's question marks, right? So the NFL players asked for no preseason games and the NFL was like, okay, cool, y'all can have that. So I'm wondering what is being left out of that negotiating situation. On the opt-out update, 6 Patriots have opted out of the season, Amit. 6 Patriots are opting out of playing the 2020 NFL season. And actually, 2 Patriots are opting out of playing the Patriots season. This is breaking news. 2 Patriots, you know who they are?
Oh, I think they're two fine gentlemen who are playing for a team that I think you root for.
Yeah, so Thomas Brady decided to take his talents down south to Tampa, Florida, so he can get some sunshine, hit some golf balls, and not have to worry about the snow anymore. And you know what? A guy I thought would never return to the NFL, who lost like 60, 70 pounds, looked like a shell of himself, went away for good, was lured out of hiding by his boy TB12 to join him in TB, Rob Gronkowski, the Gronkmeister, who's going to be playing for the Buccaneers as well. So 2 Patriots have opted out. In all seriousness, NFL players are uncertain of the protocols being put in place. We've seen that Major League Baseball has put in a 113-page document outlining, and things can still go wrong without a bubble. The NFL does not have a bubble proposed. And with athletes like Von Miller, who's actually has asthma and has caught the virus, and a number of other players who have underlying conditions, it's going to be interesting to see which NFL players decide to play or not. We do want to give a huge, huge shout out to Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. He is a doctor. He's the only doctor on an NFL roster, and to my knowledge, the only doctor who practices and is a current NFL player. He was the first player to opt out of the 2020 season, Amit. Not so much for his health and safety, but because he's in Canada saving lives and helping people get through COVID-19 and helping people get through their medical situations, serving in that capacity. We have a huge salute to him for doing that.
Huge salute. That is amazing to make that decision, not just for him and his family, but to really turn around and then go try to help others and fight on the front lines of this thing. So huge props. And, you know, we talked about the opt-outs and we talked about all the different things coming into the baseball season. You know, part of this is, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you're athletes, you're prime physical specimens. Although, you know, if you look at some NFL guys and some baseball guys, maybe not prime, but you know what I mean. You're pro athletes. You have to be working on a whole different level. You've got your body is tuned in certain ways that maybe the average person just isn't. And the thought is maybe this just doesn't affect you the same way, or you're going to be fine. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're asymptomatic. But the truth is we don't know enough about it. And we're seeing that some guys that are getting very sick and coming back, or even getting sick, sitting out for the 7 to 14 days and coming back, have some long-term issues. And the newest one that's happened is Eduardo Rodriguez of the Boston Red Sox, professional athlete, prime physical condition. He had COVID and now he has myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart muscle. And as we're finding out, people that have COVID, even if it's not life-threatening, are having long-term heart issues. Based on, and this isn't all over the place, this isn't everyone, but there's a percentage of people. So as professional athletes look at this, they're definitely taking into consideration, hey, even if I get it and I'm okay, there's long-term considerations for my health. And as you stated, these are people with families, right? They've got significant others, they've got kids, they've got parents, grandparents. So they're thinking well beyond just themselves in these situations.
These are leagues that we grew up admiring, wanting to be a part of, loving, excitement. You think that they have the best of the best available to them. And it's interesting just to see now and adding commentary to, like, are they taking player safety seriously? Are they taking the public safety seriously in considering bringing back the sport? As badly as we want sports, and trust me, we want them more than anyone, taking into consideration these athletes' well-being and their families also is just as important, is more important than bringing back sports.
You and I will continue to monitor the NFL and how this thing plays out, and we'll continue to update all our listeners across the board.
And in NBA news, we kicked off this podcast, Amit, with our in-depth previews and reviews of The Last Dance, the only sports that was on TV on the time. I mean, it seems like forever ago. It's 19 episodes ago, but it feels like forever ago that we were doing this. And we're bringing it back full circle because we talked about the birth of the brand in episode 4, BTN 4, the birth of the Jordan brand, Amit, how Michael Jordan wanted Adidas and reluctantly signed with Nike. We talked about the Pistons, Amit, an arch rival in episode 5, BTN 5, and the disdain for Isaiah Thomas, which some speculated kept him off the Dream Team and led to the infamous iPad pass in The Last Dance, where Jordan was nodding his head and said, "I don't care what Isaiah has to say about anything. I don't believe him at all." It was reported this week, Amit, that NBA Jam programmer was a huge Pistons fan and came out that he designed the game for the Bulls to lose, that if it came down to a last second shot, they would miss that shot. And Amit, I always played with the Bulls and I felt like I was better than my record indicated. Now we know why.
Now we know why.
Michael Jordan might now have the ultimate own, as it's been reported that his logo will don every NBA uniform in the league. Will have the Jordan brand logo on it, including the Detroit Pistons. So the team that walked off the court on him, the team that beat him up and kept him from the playoffs, and Isaiah Thomas, who's still involved with the NBA, now when he goes to the store and he sees Detroit Pistons gear, it will have Jordan's logo all over it, aka I own you, I own this team.
You gotta love it.
That is cold. And also in NBA news, LeBron is paying court fees in Florida. So in Florida, the formerly incarcerated were given the right to vote in elections in a ballot initiative last year. Some lawmakers didn't like that decision, Amit, and we know that this disproportionately affects people of color. And they moved to add a law to enforce the formerly incarcerated to pay off all legal fees and all court fines before having the ability to register to vote, even though the original law did not have that in there. LeBron heard about this and he's doing something about it. He's donating $100,000 through his legal fund, more than a vote, to help pay off this burden for many of the folks so they can get out to vote. And it's him and a collection of some other athletes, including the OG, the old Gator, the original gangster, Udonis Haslam, who's been in the league forever and played his college basketball for the Florida Gators before I even went to Florida, Amit, and during some of the time I was at Florida. His quote, "We believe that your right to vote shouldn't depend upon whether or not you can pay to exercise it, which is why More Than a Vote is proud to partner with the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition to ensure that formerly incarcerated American citizens, many of them black and brown, are able to pay their outstanding fines and fees and register to vote in the 2020 election and beyond." So LeBron, Udonis Haslam, and everyone involved, shout out, putting your money where your mouth is, More Than an Athlete, for sure. That's before the business. Now let's get back to the business. So, Amit, it's time for our new segment, News from the NBA Bubble.
Bubble news. Yeah.
Bubble news. Shouts out to Matisse Thybulle, our favorite NBA bubble player, putting it all out. He put out episode 5 on it, which was great. He showed some of the protocols, additional protocols they've had to go through of his blog, but also showcased an important conversation he had with his teammates on how to best use their voice and platform for social change while they are in the bubble. They also talked about how to unify around one topic and try to address that with the media. They educated themselves on some of the history of some of the things going on and talked about the responsibility they have as athletes to be educated so they can have an informed opinion on the topics. It was a great episode. I would encourage anyone to go watch Matisse Thybulle on YouTube, his vlog about the NBA bubble.
We'll throw a link up on Twitter so that people can get to it.
So we'll throw that link up so you guys can go check that out. We also learned, Amit, that Giannis told a little lie about his off time before he got to the bubble. He was out here saying he didn't have a basketball hoop, he didn't have a gym to work out at. And turns out all that was false and false. He lied because he was trying to get a competitive edge. I'm not sure how that would have gave him a competitive edge, but sure.
Telly, I got a question for you. Who's sitting there? What big NBA player from a team that's actually a threat is sitting there saying, oh wait, Giannis doesn't have a hoop? Let's not practice. You know, I don't have to work out.
Not even that. Who from the organization is getting fired if they don't immediately drive a hoop to wherever he's located? I mean, whether you put weights in the back of a truck, a van, you rent a bus, you get a hoop to that man because you guys are the best team in the NBA and you need the MVP of last year and the MVP of this year, in my opinion, to be ready. And he's got to be ready because if they lose on it, he's coming to Golden State. He's coming to join Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and make another run with the Warriors. I'm just putting it out there if they don't win the finals.
So KD 2.0?
Not even KD. He's younger, faster, stronger. Steph on the outside, Giannis on the inside. Woo! They had to make room for KD. I don't know. I think Giannis might be a better fit. Paul Millsap and Kristaps Porzingis, the last great New York Knick, Kristaps Porzingis, they were not able to play in their last scrimmage games. I mean, you know why? They both did probably the most Knick thing ever.
That is a Knick thing.
They missed their daily COVID tests in the bubble. And as a result, they each had to quarantine for a day until receiving a negative test result.
That's the most Knicks thing I've heard.
Wow, wow, wow. Hassan Whitesides has now taken 31 tests since arriving in the bubble, and he tweeted a picture out of him getting his 31st test taken with the hashtag 31 tests. Zion Williamson left the bubble, Amit. He had a family emergency. We pray everything's okay with him and his family. He left, but he's been testing daily, which actually allows him to return to the bubble and only quarantine for 4 days.
And my understanding is, at the time of us recording this,
we're recording Wednesday, July 29th. That's always important to point out because things are moving quickly.
He's back out there.
Bull, bull. So bold you say it twice. Is looking so nice in the bubble. He is balling out of control, dominating 2 games. I mean, 6 blocks, 16 points, over 10 rebounds.
And he's got that sweet shot from beyond the arc.
He's got that shot from the beyond the arc, but we failed to mention that the man is 7'4", shooting threes.
And he has a 7'9" wingspan.
Yes, and everyone, if you don't know who this is, he was slept on in the draft. Amit and I are watching the draft. He went 40th overall. How the man went 40th, I don't know. He was almost in tears at the draft. He looked angry. He was crying. He's the only guy there that didn't get picked. He got picked 40th, Amit. He was projected lottery pick. The Denver Nuggets got a steal, but, Amit, he balled out so well that the NBA forced him to take some tests the next day. What's up with that? That's messed up. Just because he had a good game doesn't mean he's on something. I know they need to have those MLB testers. They don't test dudes after they hit home runs. They pat them on the back.
I will not comment on that.
LeBron James, Amit. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Coach Frank Vogel. We're talking about the Lakers actually forced Caruso to not go to his sister's wedding in Texas.
Because it's Texas.
It's Texas, yes. And they didn't force him. That may be strong words on my part. Although he said he was supported either way, they encouraged him to strongly consider. Wink, wink. We know what that means. Come on now. We know what that means.
It's do the right thing. Do
responsibility was the word, I believe. Responsibility. And then lastly is a story from the bubble, but I'm sure everybody's already heard this story. So we know we're going to cover it last because we want to give y'all news you haven't heard. But now we want to give you news you can use. Lou Williams left the bubble for some wangs. Actually, left for a family emergency. We pray that his family, he are doing okay. But after that, he went and got some wings, possibly wangs and thangs. I'm just saying, maybe wangs and thangs. He has to quarantine for 11 days before he can return to his team, the Clippers, who are in contention for the NBA championship this year and are down so many players that they signed. My boy, Joakim Noah, Florida Gator, is on the Clippers squad. In case y'all didn't know that, that's an update for y'all. Joakim Noah plays for the Clippers now.
I'm pretty sure the Knicks are paying his salary, too, to play for the Clippers, but that's neither here nor there. Back to Lou Williams. He got some wings. And maybe some things. But where did he get this from, Telly?
Magic City Wings.
Magic
City? Biggest publicity stunt. Everybody wants to try these wings now. They're worth breaking quarantine for.
So, to your point, if someone from Magic City Wings is listening, call us, send us a message, tweet at us. I want some of those wings.
The Lou Will Lemon Pepper Barbecue, world famous now, world famous quarantine breaking wings.
That's right. You've created their first commercial.
So good you break quarantine for them.
That's the news from the bubble.
News from the NBA bubble.
Bubble news. Yeah.
Bubble news.
For our main story, the return of live sports.
Yeah, so we want to talk about the return of live sports. Amit, you and I caught a couple games this past week and weekend. I had a couple questions about them before we, you know, So there were some cutout fans and there were some virtual fans. So what did you think? What did you think of the cutouts? What did you think of the virtual? How was this feeling? Did it feel real?
So the cutouts I get, right? And this is a good way for teams to make revenue. I know some teams are, whatever money you put towards cutouts, they're putting to charities and all that kind of stuff. So the cutouts I get, you're a fan, you can kind of buy your seat, get your cutout. We have a listener that I know of that has his own cutout at Citi Field. Maybe a little bit of a Mets fan. Maybe Sean from Orlando, I think, has a little bit of work going on there with his own cutout at the Mets stadium. So that's kind of cool. The virtual one that Fox is doing, that threw me off. Because we're watching the game, you see like a big hit, and when they zoom out, all of a sudden there's like people out there. And I had to do a double take because I didn't realize that's what they were doing. So I was like, wait, is this a real game or is this an old game from last year? What's happening? So that's a little weird to me that they have just overlaying the crowd from previous years. But I mean, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, it was a little bit confusing. I think my favorite part, so it felt real. The sports felt real. It was nice to have sports back. The baseball, there were great games that came down to the later innings. There was great pitching. I thought there was really good hitting. And the drama, Amit, that I saw was the New York Mets, speaking of Mets, put actually players' dogs in the outfield. So they got cutouts. They had like an animal day, I guess, because, you know, no fans there. So the guys brought their dogs to the park. They were holding them, taking pictures. They put cutouts in the outfield. The Braves were having none of this. One dude hit a home run and hit Sparky right dead in the face. Like, I'm like, is this animal abuse? How am I supposed to feel about this? This baseball just hit this dog right in the face. I didn't know how to feel about that. Poor dog.
It's still fun. I mean, I think all the proceeds for those dog cutouts went to shelters in New York.
Animal shelters in general. That's good to know. At least it's helping someone. We also saw at the Dodgers game that a home run cut off a guy's head. So that was a little...
I'm sure they're going to have to reprint that and put that on poster board again.
Yeah, he got all the FaceTime on SportsCenter, though. He was definitely a top 10 play, getting his head cut off and keeping a smile on his face.
Overall, it's been fun. I think the NBA has got some interesting ideas for how they want to have it done. They've partnered with Mick Ultra, and they're going to have virtual fans through like some sort of video system in seats. You'll be able to interact with fans around you and watch the game courtside. So they've got that pushing.
So I got to preview this a little bit, and it was strange, Amit, because the NBA originally, they had videos during the Miami Heat game of Heat fans cheering. Either it was stock footage from the stadium, but it was a crowd of people cheering, yelling, booing. Or so during free throws, you could see the screen behind the guys as you would see in regular games. And then they had these people blown up on the side of the screen to make it like a home field advantage. What got a little weird was that experience you're talking about, when you're seeing a guy sitting at home on his computer with his headphones on, okay, and the microphone attached to the headphone, and he's like eating nachos in his chair, and somebody else has like their Microsoft Excel t-shirt on from where they work, and someone has a hoodie on, and they're like rolling their computer chair around in the screen. That's a little strange, because it definitely doesn't feel like they're at the game. It feels like they're sitting in front of a computer at on a Zoom call or something like that. And that to me was like, I don't think the players want to see these guys in their pajamas at home watching them play. That was weird.
I think the fan crowd is nice. Watching it on TV, it was kind of cool that they had that around to give it a little bit of an atmosphere. But look, you can still hear what the guys are saying. You still hear, you know, the squeak of the shoes on the floor. So it feels empty, right? They don't have that atmosphere. You don't have the noise. The piping in of the noise is interesting. I think it's good in some cases. I don't know if it has any impact for the players. I think it was during a Cubs game where it was a Cubs game at Wrigley Field where one of the Brewers hit a home run and they had the cheers going on by mistake for the Brewers player. So, I mean, it's going to be hit or miss. MLB did a pretty cool job where in the MLB app, you can cheer for your team. Like, you can pick the game and you could cheer for your team and you can send it to the stadium crew and they can play it over the loudspeakers during the game. So they're allowing fans to have like live cheering sent in and then played over the loudspeakers during the game. So that's kind of cool. That's I would think, utilizing technology and being a little outside the box on that. So that was cool. That didn't go live for opening day, but they had it like later that evening or the following day.
We should all pitch in and record like "Ump, you suck," and just have them play like "Ump, you suck," and then do that like over and over. So it's not even, it's neutral, like whatever team the ump just sucks, we can just send that in. And then as fans, we'll get to experience the "Ump, you suck" and the perplexed look around. One of the other funny things I saw on it was the first manager toss in baseball, where they socially distance, yelled at each other. But first, no. Put on your mask. Okay, now I'm gonna yell at you. Oh shoot, your mask broke? Hold on, let me pull my mask up and take two steps back. But I'm still yelling at you. And I know you kicked me out of this game, but I'm still gonna make my point. But socially distance, because we love and care for each other as human beings. Although I'm pissed at this call right now and I'm getting kicked out of this game.
You know, in the moment, I was actually pretty impressed that they took the time to think that through and do that. Like, oh, I got to put it on, got to stay away. But all in all, baseball, if you watch games, you still see guys, plenty of high fives. You know, when you see the walk-offs, everyone's at home plate jumping on the guy. We saw the bench clearing, not a brawl, but a bench clearing during the Astros-Dodgers game after, some words were said at the end of the game or near the end of the game. So there's definitely been plenty of opportunities where Major League Baseball has not, at least the players have not done a good job of following all the process and protocols. But I think, there's definitely some room to go. We'll definitely be talking about that in this next segment. But it's been fun. It's great to have sports back. Even without fans out there, it's exciting to see games that count and mean something. And with the NBA around the corner too, very excited to see how the games coming up this week work out for them.
It took me back to, 2001, and President Bush had to get that first pitch right. 9/11 happened. This was a return to normalcy. Baseball has always signaled a return to normalcy, that things are okay, things will be okay. So I'm thinking, Fauci's going to get up on there and he's going to throw a fastball down the middle. As soon as the ball hits the glove, the coronavirus explodes. It's over. We're back to normal. Crowds can gather. We can go see baseball games. We can eat Cracker Jacks, have peanuts, and all of the above. So Amit, you're bringing us right to the point. Like, I love the live sports. I think we both enjoyed it. I think it gave us a sense of normalcy that things are getting better. Things are improving a bit over here in life in general, to watch baseball and basketball on TV.
For our main story, the return of live sports and a bit of a trial.
It brings us to our question for this segment. Is baseball already done, Amit? Like, is this experiment, this joy that we've experienced, was this a tease? Is it over? Are we not going to have this anymore?
The numbers going into this did not look great, right? So we were 4 days into the season when we had our first outbreak. So 46 games total in to the season, we had the Miami Marlins test positive for COVID-19. And of course, Florida, right? Had to be Florida, had to be Miami. And the initial testing, essentially between the Friday, so not this Friday, but this past Friday through Tuesday, they had a total of 18 players and coaches, and I think it was two coaches and 16 players that tested positive for COVID-19.
And for those that don't know, at least 18 players and coaches with the Marlins have tested positive for COVID-19. And according to Jeff Passan, who reported, with the team remaining in Philadelphia where it played its opening series, Miami's scheduled Monday game against the Orioles was postponed. The Phillies' Monday night game against the Yankees was postponed as well. One Marlins player reportedly learned of a positive test on Friday. Three more, including scheduled starter pitcher Jose Ureña, did so on Sunday. Despite knowing this, Miami still played its scheduled Sunday night game against the Phillies, with manager Don Mattingly saying that the team, quote, never really considered not playing, unquote, even as it awaited further test results that, as we learned Monday, would have revealed a more widespread incidence of the virus. Half of the Marlins are now in quarantine, and with an outbreak of this size appearing in the opening weekend, Amit, which is why I asked you the question, was this just a tease? There is little to suggest that the other 29 teams can reach the end of the scheduled season unscathed by these outbreaks.
And before we jump into sort of how we got here, I think it is crazy that the fact is the Marlins, so initially it looked like just very, very poor management and leadership from the Marlins. But then you find out the Marlins, once they found out about this, talked to the Phillies. And the Phillies said, okay, we're good, no worries. So they told us this, right? They told the other team, they said this was the situation. And the Phillies said, okay, we're good. Those guys aren't playing. They're not in the game, so we're fine.
Right. But I gotta push back a little bit on this, because that's like if a little kid is sick and he wants to play with his friend and he's like, I asked Bobby if he wanted to play and he still wants to play with me even though I'm sick. Like, at some point, the parents got to jump in and be like, no, you're sick. We don't want your friend Bobby to get sick. So we're going to stop this now so you guys can keep being friends. And neither one of you can get better and Bobby never gets sick. And this is, like we've been talking about, so serious. Guys have families and loved ones, and we don't know the effects or the long-term effects on someone's health of getting this. So, I mean, I got to push back a little bit on that one, that even the Phillies knew, that almost makes it worse.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we said we're going to have a little trial here, right, Amit? And unfortunately, I think you're going to represent Major League Baseball in this one.
Of course I am.
And so we got to cue the People's Court music here. Dun, 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 dun. And I think a question a lot of people have, a lot of Beyonders have, is why aren't they in the bubble? We see how great the NBA is working. We see that they're testing multiple times a day and they're coming back with negative tests. It seems to be working. Why isn't baseball in a bubble?
Funny you bring that up. And we talked about this earlier, right? So months and months ago, the MLB considered a bubble or multi-bubble plan in places like Arizona and Florida, where they happen to have numerous facilities and stadiums for people to play in. Oddly enough, Florida and Arizona, two of the places with the highest number of cases right now, and it's been soaring and continues to go up. But they had facilities, they would be able to play there. The downside would be, of course, summer temperatures in that area, in those both of those areas, you're gonna deal with a lot of high temperature games, right? But the players kind of pushed back and said, hey, we don't want to be isolated for our families for 4 months. And the league, pretty much looking at the league and the players, quickly dropped that one, right? So they came back and they looked at it and they said, hey, the season, we're going to design the season so that these teams essentially stay within their geographic regions, right? So you're exclusively playing against the division and the corresponding division in your league, right? So that essentially keeps you in a smaller bubble per se that makes it feasible, logistically speaking, to play all 60 games in the 66 days in a small area where you're only traveling between a couple of states, right? But I don't know if it really helps deal with any of the problems of how contagious COVID-19 is and how it can spread. Because as we found out, a lot of these teams, even as they're traveling in their small bubbles, are not using chartered flights, but are actually using commercial flights to go from point A to point B, right? So even though they've got their own protocols and they've got their own processes, they are heading into the general public to get from point A to point B, which they have argued has allowed them to social distance better on some of these commercial flights by spreading them out more compared to some of their chartered flights. But I still think once you pop the general population in, that's a wrench that completely changes everything.
Yeah, and all it takes is a flight attendant missing wiping the seat back in seat 2A. Garrett Cole sits in seat 2A, enjoys his meal, wipes his eye, and then the whole Yankees can get contaminated with the virus. I'm just saying,
the Yankees,
as long as it's outside
flying
of a controlled environment.
Stop it. Stop with this nonsense. The Yankees are not flying commercial. Okay. The Marlins are flying commercial. That okay. I know.
So we're talking about the disparity of wealth in Major League Baseball. That's for another
get
day.
Out of here. Get out of here.
My Rays are taking buses, just so everybody knows.
Get out of here.
My Tampa Bay Rays are forced on a bus. The Yankees each get their own private jet to fly around socially distanced. So we talked about social distance. We went into depth last week about the 113-page memo that MLB put on with the protocols to follow for the coronavirus in the shortened season. But Amit, watching games this weekend, we did not see that. Like, guys were high-fiving, guys were hugging each other. Some guys had on masks. Most guys didn't have on masks. Some guys even went up to bat in their mask, but a lot of guys didn't, right? And so the question really is, like, what is not working about the memo? Like, why is this happening?
So there's a couple of issues here, right? And I agree with you. I think you and I are on the same page on this. They came out with all these guidelines, but Telly, just like you've seen us nationally come out with guidelines for all Americans, their guidelines, right? People, there's no real penalty for not following these guidelines, especially Major League Baseball. So baseball, of course, socially distant by nature on the field, right? But, you know, you're in your locker rooms, you're in your dugouts, you're on a team bus, not as distanced, but they've worked out, you know, every other locker, you know, they're distancing on the dugouts, they're trying to keep people spread apart. But I think the bigger problem is these players are not in a bubble, right, to your point. So they go back to their home communities when they're at home, right? And especially in those states where we're experiencing unprecedented spikes over the past couple of weeks, you have that opportunity, like we said, to contract while you're away from this sterile environment that you're trying to create for these teams in Major League Baseball. And of course, as you're heading into other stadiums, as you're heading on the road, and you know, we had a segment that we talked about last week that didn't make it to the actual episode, going over the details of how they're flying, how they go to airports, how they get to hotels, all the various pieces of that. So we could definitely add that in to the episode and give people a little bit of an update on what that looks like. Pick that up off the cutting floor, if you will, of some of the reel from last week and put in the extra details. But you're right, you know, they're not following it because there's no enforcement. Nothing happens if you don't wear a mask, right? You're not getting suspended. You're not getting, you know, you're not getting suspended without pay. None of those things are happening. So it's, hey, we should probably follow these rules. And I think really the teams have to look at it when you look at what happened to the Marlins and say, guys, if we don't follow the rules, there's a good chance we're not going to be playing, winning any games, or going to any sort of postseason that happens this year, right? So if you look at it from a team standpoint of wear your masks, wash your hands, right, properly social distance, if we make it through 60 games, there's a good chance we can win the World Series, right? Versus guys that are, you're just losing players left and right. It's going to be a lot of self-policing until the league comes out and says, you have to do this, you have to do that, right? Because you're right, some guys are wearing masks, some guys are not. We saw my favorite moment was when Anthony Rizzo, when a runner gets to first base, pulls out the Purell from his pocket.
Using the hand sanitizer.
Get a little hand sanitizer when you get there.
We tweeted that this week. That was one of my favorite moments. he's policing the field from first base, which everybody got to get to first base. So
to the point, was he wearing a mask? No. Was he all up in him to give him the hand sanitizer? Yes. Right. And there are rules in place that says, you know, players from opposing teams should not be within 6 feet of each other whenever possible. Harder on the field, especially as first baseman, runner on first, all those types of things. But, you know, on the flip side of this, right, you also saw that Juan Soto, star of the Nationals, tested positive before their opening day game against the Yankees, right? So he misses that game. He misses the next game. Turns out it was a false positive, right? So now he's tested negative for multiple times. He missed the games, but he's okay. Atlanta Braves, we saw both of their catchers go down on opening day with COVID. So, but that's one of those things where it's tied to the Marlins game. When we look at the league in general, and I know everyone's looking at this and saying, oh, this is falling apart and everything is, you know, Major League Baseball has seen an outbreak, this should shut everything down. It really comes back to one team, and it's the Marlins. They're the only ones that have actually had positive tests so far, right? The Marlins played the Braves' two catchers are out, right? That's through the Marlins. The Marlins played the Phillies. The Phillies seem to be okay through this point. However, they do have two positive tests among their staff, their coaching staff. So I think there's work to be done. There needs to be processes in place and decision makers in place when it comes to playing these games that is just not there right now. Because as you alluded to earlier, you've got the fox guarding the hen house and all this stuff. If the players get to decide if they play when someone on their team or multiple players test positive, and I'm not saying those players can play, of course, very clear, you test positive, you got to quarantine, but there's all these interactions they have in between is how it's spreading from player to player, and that's where we're getting into trouble here.
Yeah, no doubt, without a doubt. So, you know, we've had some folks come out and speak out against MLB and kind of, you know, the decisions that are taking place, mainly David Price. You know, he came out, he called out MLB in a tweet saying, quote, now we really get to see if MLB is going to put players' health first. Remember when Manfred said players' health was paramount in all caps? Part of the reason I'm at home right now is because players' health wasn't being put first. I can see that hasn't changed, unquote. So there are guys who have chosen not to participate in the season and that are critical and even watching as we are and saying not enough has been done.
Yeah, and I think this is where things get a little tricky for them. So, you know, we saw the issue with the Marlins and the Phillies, right? The Marlins are put on essentially, they're put on leave as a team for a whole week. And then even after that leave for a week, they've got to replace half of their team. Because I think almost 45, almost 50% of their players tested positive, right? And it's going to be a while. They've got to test negative for it twice. And you got to test negative, wait 24 hours, test again, and then it has to come out negative before you can even start playing again. So that's pretty much wiped that team out. You saw the impact that it had on the Phillies. The Phillies canceled numerous games, right? And they're going to cancel more. They were supposed to play the Blue Jays, and that game got canceled because of the two coaches. But these games are not being canceled, and I know I said canceled. They're being postponed. So the issue we're going to have now is if we follow the protocols, right? And even Dr. Fauci said, I think, a couple of days ago, this shouldn't shut everything down, but this should make Major League Baseball look at the protocols in place and ensure that they're being followed to the letter by all players. Because I think he had a good amount of say in the processes and protocols that are put in place in that 113-page document. So I think everything they have set, if they actually follow them, will put them in the best position to be able to play and to continue to play. But with this virus in general, we're only as strong as our weakest link, right? So everyone, if 95% of the clubhouse is doing it right, but that 5% isn't, you're still in the same amount of trouble you would have been if no one was doing it in many cases.
Yeah, correct. Correct. And I think those were some great points, Amit. You defended MLB well. The ruling in this case is more evidence must be presented before we can make a ruling. So we're right there with you, Beyonders. We're excited for sports and want them to do it right. I think this is a great spot to go back to last week's episode where Amit and I did discuss some of the travel protocols that were put in place. We took it out of the episode because we went into a lot of depth and you know, we cut edited for time, but I think it's important now to play some of that. And again, there's no bubble for baseball. We've been talking about the NBA bubble. All the guys are in Orlando. All the guys are in Disney. This will require travel back and forth between ball clubs and between stadiums.
Yeah, and they've done a pretty good job of minimizing so that you're only traveling within like a small circle. So you're not traveling cross country and going to all different parts of the country. Each division's kind of just running around in their own division. But, you know, there's still going to be some travel. And yeah, you are in most cases with the general public. So when it comes to hotel arrangements, players are not allowed to make their separate private or public housing arrangements when on the road. Hotel rooms are booked on lower floors so that staff members and all team players can utilize the stairs instead of the elevators. No non-team personnel can be on the same floor as teams. They've got to have their own personal check-in, check-out, entrance, exit from the hotel separate from the general public, and they're not allowed to eat at any of the restaurants in or outside of the hotel. All food has to go through the teams, and they can't use any of the fitness centers or anything of any of the facilities at any of the hotels unless the team has reserved out the entire hotel and the hotel is following all the policies and procedures of Major League Baseball from a cleaning standpoint. And last but not least, all rooms must be fully stocked with hand sanitizer and extra face masks for all players and any immediate family traveling with them. And the kicker for all of this for hotels, if you're a staff member that's serving any one of these rooms with players, you also have to follow all the player personnel safety protocols that the players do. Good luck in enforcing that. With it all said and done, I don't see how they finish 60 games without key players getting sick along the way and impacting the season significantly as soon as they actually start traveling.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like a tall task at this point.
All right, Telly, let's wrap this thing up. For our first piece, we talked about how it's sad that the Olympics are just not starting up this month and this year.
And Michael Jordan still owning the league 20 years after retirement by having his logo on all uniforms.
We put the return of sports on trial and determined that we need a little more evidence to see if Major League Baseball can survive outside of a bubble.
And remember, Beyonders, to flatten the curve like first pitch Fauci and don't let anyone catch anything. Thank you for going beyond the numbers with us. We're a weekly podcast dedicated to going beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. We're available on all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Whatever you're listening on now, please be sure to click the follow or subscribe button to get our latest content.
And remember, you can find us on Instagram, Beyond the Numbers Podcast, and on Twitter, at Beyond TN Podcast.
Till next time, peace.